brought to you by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis. This edition highlights key LinkedIn posts on social selling in weeks 41 and 42. Frenis supports enterprises with enablement and insights, providing data-driven sales intelligence, flexible support, team augmentation, and data quality improvements so social engagement turns into measurable pipeline. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're diving straight into B2B's social selling strategy. We've pulled together the most, actionable insights from LinkedIn over the past couple of weeks, really focusing on what's actually working now.
That's right. And if you look at all the commentary from people like Daniel Disney, James Farnfield, there's this big theme emerging. It's a real strategic shift, I'd say.
A shift away from what?
Away from just chasing, you know, vanity metrics, likes, comments, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. and moving towards really disciplined execution, mm-hmm. stuff that's anchored in trust and, crucially, measurable pipeline.
Right. So the mission for you listening is to really grasp how trust, visibility, and, conversion all connect, especially because the platforms like LinkedIn keep tweaking the rules. So let's start right there. Theme one, the platform, the algorithm, and this trust metric everyone's talking about, the Social Selling Index, or SSI.
Yes, the SSI. Okay, so this score, it runs 0 to 100, and it's basically LinkedIn's own kind of hidden trust meter.
Hidden, so people don't even know about it.
A lot don't. Mm. Davida Ginter, Gabby Leibovich, Ali Wallace, they all flag this. Many users just aren't aware it exists, but it really influences your success on the platform.
Okay, but it sounds a bit arbitrary. Why should a busy B2B seller actually focus on improving some score?
Well, because it's not arbitrary at all.
Well,
think of it like a behavioral dashboard. It directly impacts how visible you are. Goral Karapetian broke it down nicely.
How so?
It measures four pillars.
Yeah.
How well you build a professional brand.
Okay.
Find the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Engage with insights and build relationships. Score high there. And LinkedIn essentially rewards you with more reach.
And the numbers LinkedIn quotes are pretty serious, right?
Yeah.
Something like high SSI users getting 45% more business opportunities.
Exactly. A 45% lift.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not just a vanity score. That's a real KPI. It's basically the engine driving your organic reach.
Wow.
And, you know, the SSI matters even more now because the algorithm itself is changing. It's gotten tougher.
Ah, yes. Liam Darmody mentioned this new AI system, 360 Brew.
That's the one. 360 Brew.
What is that exactly? How's it different? Sounds like another one of those black boxes designed to make life harder.
Huh. Well, Richie Padour called it a tough grader, and I think that's fair. It aggressively prioritizes content based on persona and intent.
Persona and intent. So less about just general activity.
Way less. The old system might have boosted you for just being active, getting lots of likes.
Yeah.
But 360 Brew, if you post about, say, finance, it actively looks for finance professionals showing interest in finance topics. And it only shows them the most relevant, high-quality stuff.
So if I'm that CFO, 360 Brew is basically acting like a filter, screening out the noise and only showing me what's really relevant to my job.
Precisely. Relevance is king now,
mm-hmm.
which forces users to be, hyper-specific and human.
Okay.
Yeah, Simon Schmidt's pointed out the irony here. LinkedIn seems to be penalizing that sort of robotic AI-generated content it maybe even encouraged before.
Right, the low-effort stuff.
Exactly. If your content doesn't feel human and relevant, 360 Brew apparently just tanks its visibility,
mm-hmm.
like within the first hour.
Okay, that focus on human relevance, it leads us straight into theme two, content strategy, shifting from me to them. If 360 Brew demands real intent, we need real content.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Disney, he gave that uncomfortable truth, didn't he? That most sellers do social selling completely backwards.
They really do. It's all my product, my company, my features, that me focus. It just falls flat. Prospects honestly only care about one thing.
Their problem.
Their problems, exactly. So Disney argues your content, your profile, your messages. Everything needs to start with the prospect's challenges. Tell stories about their success using your solution.
Which means you actually need a point of view, right?
Yeah.
James Farnfield talked about executives needing a strong opinion, an ideology, the AIMS statement, he called it.
Yeah, the AIMS statement. It's essentially your core belief, maybe slightly contrarian, about how things should be in your industry, how problems should be solved. It's what you stand for.
If you don't have that, you just blend in.
You blend in, totally.
Yeah.
And that requires authenticity, which, let's be honest, can be scary.
Definitely. Hayden Meyer had that great framework, though. Find your unfair advantage. Like, what unique thing did you learn or overcome?
Right.
Pick three consistent themes. And then, my favorite part, write like you're texting at 2 a.m.
I love that, too. just means be relatable, drop the corporate speak.
Yeah.
Be, you know, honest, let your guard down a bit.
Yeah, but how many execs are really going to write like they're texting at 2 a.m.? That feels like a big leap.
It is a leap, but maybe that's the point. You need that bit of emotional vulnerability. Chad Johnson made such a great point here. Emotion drives engagement. Logic just rides shotgun.
Explain that.
It's the sequence. You start with emotion, a story, empathy, something that connects and builds trust. Then you bring in the logic, the data, the ROI, the case studies. That justifies the decision they already feel is right.
Even in B2B.
Especially in B2B. The decisions are bigger, riskier.
Yeah.
You need that emotional buy-in first.
Okay, so we know we need trust the SSI. We know the content needs to be about them. So, theme 3, execution, outreach, pipeline. How do we turn that engagement into, well, actual business?
Right, the conversion part.
Yeah.
Barry Rodriguez really emphasized this. B2B needs to own distribution, not just creation. If people are engaging, you need a system, a process to guide them to the next step.
Because the biggest fail, according to Terry Heath, is just stopping at the comments, right? Great post, tons of insightful replies, and then crickets in the DM.
Exactly, dead end.
Yeah.
So how do you bridge that gap? You need a systematic approach. Cornelius Moda argued that your profile is your landing page.
Profile is landing page.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Your headline, banner, featured section, they need to scream value to the prospect, not just list your job title. The whole outreach process needs structure. Like a conversation ladder, he called it, moving people from public interaction to a private, valuable conversation.
And Christian Kraus, he talked about the difference between the average sales rep and the top 1%. What sets them apart in execution?
It's how they approach it, the top 1%. They warm up leads. They give value first. They use personalized video, voice DMs, stuff that stands out.
So less generic connection requests.
Way less. They know it takes multiple touch points, sometimes like 10 touches, just to get that first meeting booked.
Which confirms what we suspected. Multi-step nurturing sequences just outperform those one-off ask every time, especially for senior buyers.
Yeah, the data backs it up. Pipeline quality really goes up when you consistently educate at the top and provide targeted proof points mid-funnel.
And tools can help here, right? Jan Van Mosher mentioned leadshark.io for reaching out to people who comment on specific posts like giveaways.
Right, super targeted outreach based on actual engagement.
And Carolina Posma mentioned Positive AI that helps turn existing content, like maybe a dense white paper, into LinkedIn-friendly posts quickly.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's about systemizing, using tools to accelerate the human connection, not, you know, replace it entirely.
That idea of human connection brings us to theme 4. Personal branding and employee advocacy. Mohammed Sajith had a pretty blunt take. Company page is basically a digital sticker.
Ouch. Yeah, pretty blunt, but often true, isn't it? Personal profiles are the real game. People connect with people, not logos.
Which leads right into employee advocacy, and the potential leverage there is just huge. Kate Ledone shared a stat that blew my mind.
Which one?
Only 3% of employees typically share company content, but that tiny 3% drives 30% of the total engagement.
30%? From just 3% of people, that is massive leverage just sitting there, untapped in most organizations.
So the takeaway isn't force everyone to post, it's find the champions. Ben Hayes and Bradley Keenan both hit on this. Stop chasing mass compliance.
Right. Identify the people who are actually willing, who want to share their expertise, and empower them. Make it a movement, something they opt into, not a top-down mandate.
A movement, not a mandate. I like that.
And crucially, the C-suite has to be part of this movement. Colin Day pointed out that executive advocacy is a serious competitive advantage. Why? Because B2B buyers use LinkedIn like a research desk.
They're checking out the leadership.
Exactly. So leaders need to show up, share real insights. Authenticity over just activity stats.
And this isn't just a trend for this year. James Farnfield specifically said employee content will be core to 2026 strategy. It's becoming foundational.
It really comes back to that core mindset shift Dennis Jedlicka talked about. Consistency beats intensity. You don't set out to build a personal brand. Right. You earn it.
How?
By consistently solving problems for your audience and talking about it. The brand becomes the natural result, the byproduct of providing consistent value. As Rena Bender put it, your audience needs to instantly know, that's the person who really understands X.
Okay, so wrapping this deep dive up, it feels like social selling now is about radical focus.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Put this on trust. Get that SSI score up. Focus on the buyer's pain. Make it about them, not me. And focus on systemizing those conversations, not just racking up likes.
And don't forget the financial upside. Britta Behrens made a great point. Consistent social selling actually saves ad budget because it fills that inbound pipeline organically.
Right. Earned visibility through authentic effort makes the whole sales process more efficient, less costly. Mm-hmm. Well, if you enjoyed this deep dive, new editions drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and AI in B2B marketing.
And think about this. Josephine Warner estimated that LinkedIn's organic reach is shrinking, affecting maybe 95% of creators. So, given that reality, the challenge for you is pretty stark. Are you focusing your precious time on building real credibility, a strong SSI, deep connections that 360 Brew actually values? Or are you still chasing those empty vanity metrics on content the algorithm doesn't care about anymore? Think hard about where your unique expertise truly lies, and then commit to sharing that.
Thank you, and remember to subscribe.